I just read on your website about doing a TV show in LA at 9 a.m. So is this too early for you?
No. The TV show is much too early.
9 a.m., huh?
Yeah.
And on television.
Yeah,
did they give
rough.
You pancake makeup?
Yes, they powdered our face.
They really did?
Yes.
Beautiful. Are you tired?
It was like Soupy Sales.
I'm going to ask all the tough questions.
They came in like Soupy Sales. And
Soupy Sales is a good reference, so you remember. Are you tired of all this press? I mean, I looked at how many cities you guys are about to hit and have hit already. So you're not out of answers yet. Should we just like call it a day?
No, we welcome the press. It's a fair welcome to the absolute zero press that we've had on tours before. So it's actually pretty.
I will try to go a negative zero.
Yes,
I'm going to try to bring it down as far as I possibly can.
Into
like sub intelligence.
That's our level. That's our market audience.
Okay,
too.
Here we go. You ready? I'm launching in. So as I mentioned, my audience knows what I play, and here are the Riverboat Gamblers, right? And on my show, you land up next to a lot of power pop and a lot of Brit pop, and there you are in the middle of all this. And yet your bio, which is a very dangerous thing to have, although yours isn't as long as a lot that I've had to deal with, says rock, pump, punk, or pump. How about you guys be pump? Pump would be good.
Pump and rock.
Pump rock.
Pump rock.
Which gets back to the phallic symbol. Thank you. Rock, punk, pop, garage, whatever you want to call it. What do I want to call it?
We're bums that don't have steady jobs that go around singing songs for
causing
the masses.
Causing trouble, yes.
I mean, I don't know. Like, that's a good question. What is punk? Like, I don't... It means something totally different to so many different people, so...
And who really cares?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
The second you put the label on. But again, your record label and everybody else and the people writing the bios have to...
Try to sell records.
They have to try to sell records.
And here's a review from a major CD seller's website that begins with A and ends with Zon. The Riverboat Gamblers are living proof that punk can be melodic and catchy without being recycled mainstream garbage. I think maybe recycled mainstream garbage is another good name for a band.
Yeah.
But all kidding aside, there it is. Someone said it. Melodic and catchy. Do you want to be known as melodic and catchy?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the Ramones were known as melodic and catchy, and...
Yep, that's about three down. I'm going to get there.
I wasn't cheating. I was just...
I was going to say the Ramones, Blondie, Talking Heads, and you got to play CBGBs.
Yeah.
But the Ramones were totally... I mean, they are what... Them and Blondie and Television and the seminal punk bands. But they're not. You've kind of gone, and we're going to get there from, you know, release, self-releasing and ever, and now you're getting real, you know. There are bigger people handling you, as they say.
Roughly, handling us in places we don't want to be touched sometimes. It's real weird to bring, you know, to lose control over something that, I mean, we used to just play house shows. We used to be in control of the door price and who was coming in and who was leaving and the bands that were playing and everything. And now there's lots more people involved. So it's always kind of weird when you bring more people in.
So have you ever considered just being a lounge jack instead? Less carnage.
I think about it all the time. That's where I hope my career leads after this is Vegas.
Branson.
Me and Yakov Smirnoff doing a kind of
Lawrence Welk
kind of a thing, yeah.
Andy Williams.
And who knows, you know, by the time I'm 65, a lot of kids would think it was really kitschy to have someone up there belting out loungy gambler songs, you know, while they order gin and tonics and
I'm not
stuff.
Seeing this, but it's a nice try. But okay, I'm not seeing it. I'm sorry, but you know you did. It was a good read.
Good read,
as they say. It was a good read. You did a nice script read there.
That's exactly what they said to Danny Gans, Vegas's famous impressionist.
Yes, I know
and look at where he is now. He's doing Ronald Reagan impressions, and it's way past the Reagan era. He's still doing Reagan.
Wait a minute, is Reagan dead?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yes, very.
See, it's one of those questions. See, you know, you have to go to the website. You know, are they dead yet?
Well, I mean, the government will tell you he's dead, but is he really? Are they not?
Okay, let's stick to rock and roll. Oh, God, no. It's too early on a Saturday even for me.
Yeah, I don't do conspiracy stuff on this station.
This is not Art Bell.
Yeah, it's not Art Bell. It's not Janine Garofalo. Your first breakthrough set breakthrough set, according to the press, was South by 2003. That's when people started to notice. But as April Wine said, rock and roll is a vicious game. You should be able to pull out a band for a reference.
Wow.
Let's use April Wine, right? We think your songs might need a better hook. I promise on the good book it won't hurt. I won't get it in your mouth. Do you still feel that way? You like my read of your song? Melody?
Yeah, I love it.
I did the three chords. Do you still feel that way? I know you do, but let's keep going there because I didn't know we were going to go there. You are part of a bigger machine, so is that song like their favorite?
I think they like that song, actually. I don't necessarily...
Sells records?
Maybe it doesn't sell records. I don't know. Obviously, nothing we do sells records. But I think, like, that song isn't necessarily written about our label. And I'm not just saying that to be PC. Like, they were actually pretty cool with letting us sound as dirty or as clean or whatever we want. I mean, there was a couple little things that they... You know, like artwork stuff that they were kind of like, hey, could you maybe change this so we can get it into some stores? But as far as like lyrical content and songwriting content, they were very hands off.
I should be more up on my punk producers, but tell me a little bit. It's funny, when I typed his name this morning wrong on my computer, I typed it as Andrew Mudrock.
Yeah.
Which is a really good typo when you think about it.
Maybe that's his nickname.
Nickname is just Mudrock.
Is it really?
Record stuff under just Mudrock.
See, I said it as a joke.
Yeah, so we thought it was a joke too.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we go. Good. I'm going to get there. I like getting there. The producer band relationship. Good, bad, indifferent. Would you rather have just thrown him out?
That was good.
Thank you.
And he's not really a punk producer. I know that.
Oh.
Oh, don't hit me. He's hitting me. Call the cops. He's hitting me in here.
Well, that'll be a role reversal. Thank you.
Yeah. It was good. It was good. There was a couple tense moments between where things got agitated, mostly between Patrick and him.
And why Patrick?
I don't know.
He doesn't like Wawa.
I don't like Wawa pedals.
Yeah, there was an argument over a Wawa pedal, which we won.
But what did he do to your sound or not do to your sound?
Yeah, I think he just helped develop a lot of things that weren't there to begin with. I don't know. Like maybe
we've never
like
really been in
He didn't really like say anything. He just suggested a few things that I think actually
they always do
the
that, and then they go in and do the mix and do what the hell they want anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But we fought over a lot of mixes too. Not fought, but I don't know, ballyhooed, I guess, about a lot of mixes. And sometimes he was right, and sometimes we were right. And there was always good. I think the compromising and the give and take was really good.
Do you think that the attempt to get the record to sound live thing is overdone at this point? Or was that your goal?
I don't really think
that was our goal. I mean,
well, but I think like on our last record, it was more of a straight attempt to get a more straight live with like warts and all, like less takes and stuff. And this was more, I mean, we wanted to get the energy from a live performance, but we weren't necessarily trying to get like, you know, any hiccups or mess ups like we had on Something to Crow About.
Strangest thing that's happened at a gig that nobody knows about. We already know about, you know, the carnage.
Rick Rubin showed up once and shook
Brian's pinky.
He just came up and just grabbed his pinky.
Did he offer to produce?
We wanted him to offer to produce. He just came up and said really, really quietly, "Hey, I really like that song. Hey, hey, hey. This singer looks like Iggy Pop." And kind of like melted into his entourage of people. This was years and years ago. Yeah. This was actually before the breakout buzz. We thought, wow, Rick Rubin's going to want to do something. And then I don't know who he got with.
Where are you looking forward to playing, and where would you like to avoid like the plague?
Shamokin and Amarillo, Texas.
Amarillo, Texas.
Avoid.
La Crosse, Wisconsin.
La
Crosse, appropriately named.
Yeah.
Why?
We want to go to Japan. We want to go to Australia, New Zealand.
No, Australia, locales. You know, it didn't even hit me. Australia, you guys, I just heard the new Living End record, which, Australia. So what's awesome. The deal?
Apparently they're charging all this money for plane tickets. Complete BS.
Charging money? You can't take the van there?
Not yet.
They don't do ferries.
Oh, they're charging all this money for plane tickets.
Oh man. Okay, I'm Mr. Back. You can call me Backwards Boy. I should have done this at the beginning. How did you form and what did you all do before being in the Gamblers? That's supposed to be the opening question, but yeah. God only knows we don't want to ask that at the open. We've got to get, you know, a little bit of, you know, some sort of rapport going first.
We met in school.
Yeah, we were kind of all in college in Denton, Texas.
Did you finish? Okay, how many finished college? Raise your hands.
I did.
What'd you get your degree in?
Psychology, bachelor's.
I could have told. You see, because he's psychoanalyzing me as we do this interview and saying,
I am.
The red glasses, the
In-N-Out
burger, the In-N-Out
burger
Hawaiian shirt.
Hawaiian style shirt.
Yeah, but you know, and I did this with a band just the other day. But
I want to put you on Zoloft.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah, but where do you think I'm from, though?
Somewhere north.
Well,
north is correct.
Freud would say your mother, but I don't know.
Freud would say,
I'm going with Uranus.
Thank you. That's very nice.
See, I got them.
I don't even care how you formed.
Okay.
We ignore the question.
Yeah.
Okay. What did everybody else go to college for and not make it?
Art dropout or flunked out.
I took volleyball at a community college once. That's about it.
And you failed.
I actually got a B. Yeah.
He didn't have enough balls. Thank you very much.
We stole Ian fresh out of high school.
Yeah. I went to community college for a month for money, and I didn't get it.
So you mean for money?
I went online, on tour.
You went to a degree. You went to get a degree in money.
I pretty much just threw money away for books that sat in my trunk.
There you go. You said earlier that the band name wasn't working. So, the band name. Why the band name? I mean, does it confuse people? Good thing, bad thing?
Yeah, I think it confuses them. And at the time when we made up the name, it was very, like, there was a lot of emo bands coming through, and they had these very flowery, ridiculous, kind of nonsensical, the leaves are falling on the snow.
But otherwise, you like those kind of names.
Oh,
big fan of
those. I love those bands. I was just jealous that I couldn't play bad jangly music like that, so I decided to do the opposite. But we figured the Riverboat Gamblers was the most kind of silly, you know, not obviously punk rock.
So why do you say it's not working? I mean, because think about bands with dumb names, right? Usually the music is pervasive and it provides.
Yeah.
And people get beyond that. So why is it?
We're still working on that.
Yeah, oh, on the music?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Dumb question. You always have the signature question. This has become my new signature question because it's so hip and cool to ask this. You have over 80,000 friends on MySpace. Who are your favorites and why?
Tila Katina. Whatever her name is.
You know, I've been to the Tila Katina. Isn't that in Denton? Isn't the Tila Katina in Denton?
The Creature Cantina.
The Tila Katina has really killer mojitos, dancers. Don't they?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Because mojito is the... But the MySpace thing, I mean, all kidding aside, you know, you're saying that, I mean, come on, if every one of those 80,000 kids MySpace buy your CD, you know, you cannot be my friend unless you buy the CD. We'll throw you off. We will not approve you.
I'm sure a lot of people probably wouldn't care.
Yeah, a lot of people probably would.
We'd have 10 friends then.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any way to really enforce or figure out who's actually buying the CD or not, you know? I always delete any like ads for people's bands that are playing in Shamokin, PA.
He loves Shamokin.
Yeah.
We do a thing called a musical sandwich, which I've done with over 100 bands. And it's our little trademark.
Sexy.
And it's how we get, it is. And this is how we get to know you. Because you notice I didn't ask the darn influences question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What'd you listen to when you were a kid, man? Oh, come on. Who cares? So what we do is it's two of your songs. You get to play our game.
Sound of my mom yelling at my dad.
That's right. Two of your songs as the bread. So you pick two songs of yours. Mm-hmm. And then each of you are going to give me a song or two in between.
The True Crime.
True Crime and On Again, Off Again.
Yeah.
Is the bread.
Very nice. Nice album cut. The single. Very nice.
Yeah. Work. And now for meat and mustard.
Meat and mustard and potato. Whatever you put in your damn sandwich.
But
wouldn't it be BBQ for you guys?
I want to go with one of mine would be a Dictator's Two Tub Man.
Okay.
I want to go that way.
I'll say, let me think, what was I? I'll say the Bronx, False Alarm, and Rocket from the Crypt on a Rope.
Okay, go ahead.
I will say Bad Brains, Sailing On, and Fear, Beef Bologna.
Yeah.
There you go. Nice.
I'd like to do Crime, San Francisco's Doomed.
Nice. Replacements, Bastards of Young, and Against Me, Cliche Guerva.
Okay, now, somebody come up with a song to go into yours that will surprise the living daylights out of my audience because it will be a genre that nobody would believe you would actually like. Give me your guilt. Give me a couple of guilty. Give me a couple of guilty pleasure songs.
It's called They Don't Know.
They Don't Know. Okay. Paul Wall. They Don't Know.
Okay. Come on. You know you got one.
Islands in the Stream by Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton.
Afternoon Delight by David Allan Coe.
You want the David, not the Sterling Vocal Band version. You want the David Allan Coe version.